get on a wave. Let go of ego, you wanted freedom. Adjust the frames, got keys to kingdom. Unlocking chains, sober the podcast. Open up your brains, sober the podcast. Let's get it, man.
Hello. Oh, snap. You know what? I was in a relationship. She ended up getting pregnant. And the baby wasn't born yet. I ended up getting married to somebody else that I had been on for 5 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While so, she was pregnant.
Yeah, while she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, that's what happened. And yeah, that marriage didn't last too long.
Welcome back to another episode of Sober the Podcast with your host, Bradley Saxon. We got your boy, CJ Carlton, and Cliff the Nobles in the house as usual. But we got a special guest today, guys.
Yeah.
Mr. Emmanuel Rutledge.
What's up, man?
Is it still AKA Cuzzo?
Nah,
we ain't rolling like that. The old gone, we got the new.
Yeah, from Paul to Saul.
From Paul to Saul.
Saul to Paul.
Saul to Paul. Emmanuel Rutledge, thank you so much for coming.
It's a pleasure.
And just cutting up with us today. As usual, we're going to start our
three-pointer.
Traditionally, yep. We do this thing called three-pointer, sort of like an icebreaker, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where we just sort of get in the flow and we either ask questions or play music. And today, we're going to play three songs.
All right.
And you got to tell us who the artist is, okay?
Okay, let's get it.
And I got a couple on a list here. I don't know that we've stumped anybody yet.
No, I think everybody's done pretty good with the music.
Let's see if we got something going on. Let's start with an easy one.
All right. Oh, yeah. Is this one the one that I probably shouldn't know?
Can you tell the people who that is?
That's Yin Yang Twins.
Yin Yang Twins. Right,
one for
low.
One for one.
Yeah. One for one. Okay. Let's go with... Oh, you will definitely know this one.
Oh, yeah.
We've actually covered this song.
We remixed this. Hey. Yeah, I got it.
Do you know who it is?
That's Ludacris. Welcome to Atlanta.
All right, let's throw it back one time.
All right, give him a hard one.
Give him a hard one. Ooh, this is a hard one, though.
I've been listening to a lot of old school, too.
Okay, here we go.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Hold up.
I don't know if I let it play too much longer.
You can't. Okay.
You got it.
Well, I know straight out of Compton. Eazy-E, Ice Cube.
Okay.
What do I got to get the name of the song?
What's the name of the group?
What is the name of the group? You know what? As much as I seen Straight Outta Compton and all of that stuff, I still don't know the name of the group.
I bet if we told you, he would know.
Yeah,
he Do you know CJ? Who is it?
NWA.
God, tell
somebody. NWA. Do we know what that acronym stands for?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
we do. Okay, let's keep it pushing.
Yes, we do.
Again, man, Emmanuel, we're so thankful you'd come.
Yes,
sir. He got two out of three. I say he got three.
No, I mean,
he obviously he knew it was Ice Cube that was starting it.
Good thing
that was the clean version.
I noticed
it was the clean version because he doesn't say straight out. Anyway, he comes straight out on that verse.
Yeah.
But something we shared in our last episode that I thought was pretty powerful was how the gospel uniquely weaves our lives together.
Yeah.
And we're not all people who would normally mix.
Yeah.
Like, we've had many people on these couches that if it wouldn't have been for the gospel, wouldn't have been for the calling on our life, we may never have been able to sit in the same room with them.
And I
think that we're finding, man, that that's an element in the cement that binds us together.
Yeah.
That we all come from different backgrounds. We all got different stories. But the thing we have in common is Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what's really... allowed our paths to cross. So the way that we typically outline a testimony to give you a little bit of an idea is we talk about what it was like before Jesus.
Yeah.
Which you have a lot of stories.
Yes,
but we just shared generally, you know, how that was,
mm-hmm.
how your raising, just some key events in your childhood that probably played.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
A role in your future, and then we talk about that turning point of when you got introduced to Jesus, when those things changed, and then obviously we talk about how your life has flourished in Christ, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's a general way to talk about it. So tell us a little bit about Emmanuel, young Emmanuel.
Young Emmanuel was out of control. Okay. Well, I'll say this first. There was a point in my life to where I didn't even care about living. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, there's no purpose for me to be alive. And I'll set this out there first. My mindset and visual on God was you either do right or you go to hell. So my mindset was like, hold up, wait a minute. So you mean to tell me you're going to put me in this position, tell me to do right, and if I don't do right, I'm going to hell?
Mm.
So the craziest part of my life, I became an atheist. Part of me still believed in God, but the part of me that believed in God was like, screw God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All of that hurt and pain that I had, it was against God, and it was all just a misunderstanding. So to look at my situation, from the age of 4 years old, my dad killed my mother, okay? So at that moment, I lost both parents at the age of 4, my son, 3. Every time I come on, he running up to me, daddy, daddy, daddy. So, you know, you got to imagine that at a point where I needed my parents the most, I lost them, okay?
So your daddy killed your mom.
Yeah.
And then he went to prison.
He went to prison,
That's what you mean when you said you lost them both.
Yeah, lost both. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I had a good relationship with my mom and my dad.
Right.
Yeah. So when he did that, I lost both my parents. My family, both sides was hurt by it, you know. But I was raised in a household where my grandma took care of me, my mama's mom.
Mm.
And I looked just like my dad.
Oh,
so, you know, she raising up this child that looked just like the man who murdered her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think, I don't know what it feels like to lose a daughter,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, you know, I can't really say, but I know from the standpoint of, you know, this is the healed me talking. My grandma tried her best. The broken me hated my grandma because I could feel that resentment, you know. I could feel that resentment. But when you become healed, you look at it from the standpoint of, a human being can only do so much while damaged.
Sure.
A lot of us, we don't go get the help we need to heal mentally.
Mm.
And when we don't heal mentally, you know, the people that we love, they get that hurt, they get that pain. And that's the type of house that I grew up in,
mm-hmm.
okay? So that goes to show you what type of household I was in. Broken because everybody has lost someone they love, you know, and not only that, but the person who did it, you got a child who looked just like the person that did it, you know. So I was kind of like the black sheep, you know, not trying to make my family look bad, but they tried.
Sure.
Looking at it now, they tried their best. You can only do so much, you know, especially when you don't get help.
Was you the only child in that relationship?
No. I had a older brother, a younger brother, and a sister.
Okay.
You know, so everybody was hurt.
Was you the youngest?
I was like the second to youngest.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I was the second to youngest.
Did your grandma take in all four of y'all?
Yeah, she did. She did. She
did. What a
yeah,
lady.
She took in all four of us. So that was a big thing. But so I had that situation. Not to mention that. This is how I know my grandma did her best. Cause I didn't even know I was in the hood until I started going really to like middle school. That's when I realized what type of, why she would never let me go out and play with the other kids and stuff like that, you know. I used to get mad at her about it. And, you know, a lot of parents, because I said so, you know what I'm saying? And that's one thing that I'm learning, like, because I said so don't really give the wisdom that the kids need to know why, you know.
So
I learned a lot from my upbringing. So no mom, no dad, raised up in a broken home, in the hood, where they moving drugs, selling drugs.
Are you in Anderson during this time, or where?
Yeah,
are you?
Anderson.
You from Anderson,
South Carolina. South side of Anderson, South Carolina. Over by it used to be Spencer Street, the park. I forget the name of it, but yeah, I'm over around there. So I got a bunch of different influences. I got a whole environment teaching me that, you know, this is how I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be a thug. I'm supposed to walk around with my pants hanging down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be in the gang, you know, all of that peer pressure that's on me. So this is the younger version of me. Once I got out of my grandma's house, that's when I really started getting into a lot of trouble. Shootouts.
What age was this when you got out of her house, and why?
This was the age of 19.
Yeah, why did you leave?
Oh,
so you could do a little more you wanted to?
Well, really, ain't had no choice. Yeah. So she kind of told me I had to go or whatnot, you know?
She
so,
did her part. You yeah. grown now.
Yeah. And I was pissed off because I'm like, how you gonna, you ain't taught me nothing about life, and now I just got to go.
Yeah.
But, you know, so.
So what was your high school years like?
My high school years? I actually graduated. I'm the only one out of
West Side?
Yeah, West Side. Graduated from West Side. Went to Hannah for 3 years. I graduated from West Side my last year because I said, if I can't go to West Side, I'm just going to drop out. You know, but it wasn't really Hannah, it was me.
Yeah, right.
But West Side I did like it as a better school though.
Sure.
So anyways, so I did graduate. Those high school years, man, I got into a little trouble. But I ain't really getting into a lot of trouble. It was crazy. I really got into all my big time trouble when I got out of school.
So those were pretty normal years.
I would say normal.
Did you use any drugs in those years?
That's the thing about it.
You never ever used drugs, did you?
I never did drugs. They came to my school elementary. They told us not to smoke. They showed us what happened. I took heed to that.
Yeah, you smart.
Is that the DARE program?
I can't remember. I was in elementary school.
See, they dared me, and I took the DARE.
Yeah,
I used.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's funny how that works for people.
It's good.
Yeah. That's the one thing that I remember that stopped me from ever wanting to smoke anything. Now, drinking, I did that. You know, I would drink, but, like, I had a very low tolerance. I could drink half a can of Four Loko, and I was
spun.
Gone. But my main thing was, like, dealing with brokenness and mental issues and not healing from, you know, all the things that happened to me.
Trauma, yeah.
Trauma. Yeah, exactly. So, my middle school years, I got into one big fight in middle school. A big fight. Ended up going to jail with a gang leader or whatnot. So that was one thing. And then, let me see, I'm trying to think. High school, it was in my senior year. I was down at a party in the hood. And that's when I actually had my first crazy altercation of being, like, held at gunpoint by somebody that was trying to rob me.
Mm-hmm.
I still got a little scar healed up, but they pistol whipped me. So they got on the back of my moped and they wanted me to take them somewhere. I took them or whatnot. And then I seen there was a car behind us. It drove out to the side. He put the gun out. And I was like, what the world? And then he went in my pocket, took my wallet. And he was trying to take my moped, but I hit the kill switch. So it's like when you try to crank it up, it won't go. But anyways, I remember that whole situation. He was trying to take my moped. I wouldn't let him take it. He put the gun out at me. And then me, instead of letting him go away, I got to tussling with him, you know, trying to get the best of him, trying to take him to the ground or whatnot. He was taller than me anyway. And finally, I seen him do like this with the gun. I'm like, boy, he about to shoot me. Just let go. Yeah.
Take the moped.
Yeah. And then he hit me with the pistol or whatnot. And he got on the moped. He was trying to crank it up and go. Trying to crank it up and go. And then he couldn't. So he took off and he shot in the air a few times or whatnot. So that you talking about traumatized? Mm. Like, I couldn't sleep at all that night thinking that, you know, he got my wallet.
Back.
So he know where I stayed. Mm.
Yeah.
So it was going to come back. Long story short, this is when I got out of school. I did press charges. He went to jail. And then later on, I think it was a year later, I was out of school. He got out of jail. I seen him at Jose Bananas on stage. And my homeboy was like, bro, that's such and such. I don't want to say his name because he dead now. And I didn't kill him, okay? But he dead now. But I say for real, I went up downstage because revenge to me back then was worth more than $1 million.
Yeah.
Like revenge was so sweet. Like if I could get somebody back, that's all that ever mattered. I didn't care if I even went to jail too. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I ain't care if I died. Mm-hmm. As long as I got them back, that's all that mattered. Mm-hmm. So he was on stage chilling with me. I tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around. Bam, hit him. And all my homies.
Night, night.
And say, who was that fighting? I was like, oh, that's Cuzzo. So you see the whole club shift from this side to the other side, everybody on them and whatnot. But yeah, that was a crazy situation. But yeah, besides that, I'm trying to think the main turning point in my life. That was something that I was thinking about.
So you were saying, though, when you left your grandma's house, you were 19. Where'd you go when you left there? Where'd you go live?
I roommated with one of my homeboys at the time. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Were you working at the time? Or
I was looking for a job. I got a job. So, yeah, I don't think I was working, but I had got a job and started working.
Yeah.
So I was just roommating with my homeboy and whatnot. And we were staying, it was called the Arrow Homes back then. Yeah. And they done tore it down and built houses over there. But yeah, that's where I was at. So all of these situations, the one where he tried to rob me was when I was still in high school. A year later, I was out of high school and I was running wild and crazy. So yeah, we did that. And then there was another situation that I got into at the Civic Center. That's what it was. It was a big old fight at the Civic Center. They used to have basketball tournaments there. And me and a few homeboys, we got to fighting up there. And we was actually happy because we had made the news. Yeah, we had made the news or whatnot. And
did they call it gang related?
They called it Brawl at the Civic Center. Yeah. I was like, dog, well, I You're thought famous. We were going to be in the newspaper, but we actually on the news. Yeah. Everybody know about this.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy how, you know, it showed you how jacked up our mind was because, you know, I've been in the newspaper for doing great things, but back then, you know, making the news for doing something bad was like, that was our motivation, our inspiration, you know? Yeah. So just going past that, getting into more of my atheism days, it was really when I got out of my grandma's house and I was looking at my life and looking at all the things that was happening. And I was like, man, really, like, you allowed my mom to die. This is me talking to God. You allowed my mom to die. You allowed my dad to kill her. You allowed me to be raised up in this home, raised up in this population, and you mean to tell me that if I don't be good, I'm going to hell.
Mm.
Basically, you set me up in a position to go to hell.
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't want me to go to heaven anyway.
Mm.
See what I'm saying? So from that mindset of everything I went through, I'm looking at God like, you could have stopped all of this.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, but going back to that lack of knowledge of who God was, I was raised up is if you save, you do right. If not, you going to hell. But that wasn't the case, you know.
Mm.
So going to the turning point of my life is when I met Robert. Okay, so I was still in the streets doing all this crazy.
So Robert
stuff.
Is street the church. One, yeah, street
yeah,
church.
Yeah, from the street church. Yeah, and that's what me and Bradley met at the street church.
What year was this when you met him?
So we started the church in 2013, but you've been rocking with him before that, right?
Yeah, because I did boxing, so that was when I was 20 years old. Yeah, so there's a lot that happened from 19 years old to 20 years old. It's a lot that happened or whatnot. I got with Robert and I started boxing or whatnot. And you know, Robert, he was going to church, saved or whatnot, and it was crazy because he was a pastor at the time, and I didn't realize he was a pastor until like after I had joined, and I was an atheist. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, man, I don't want to hear nothing about none of that God stuff. Let me box and doggone, you know, let me build my discipline. But this showed you how powerful God is when you really, like, you know, living your life. You ain't even got to be perfect. You know what I'm saying? Mm. To an atheist boy, you know, who is lost and, you know, you found something in common with somebody who, you know, is a pastor and that's boxing, you know. Started boxing. You know, and just seeing that love that he had for me and just looking at his life and see that he's not going through all the stuff that I'm going through, you know, and it gave me a hunger to want to, you know, unite my life with God again, you know, and live for him. And it was really when I went to New Springs Church and the pastor did a sermon or whatnot, and it moved me, and I got saved again, but basically I was already saved because I got saved when I was 16. But, you know, it made me, you know, give my life back to God, for example. Now, even though I gave my life back to God, I was still the same old cuzzo, you know. So still going to the club, ended up getting into another fight. And it was crazy because it was the fight that happened at the Civic Center. Somebody had jumped me. So it was two nights. There was that Monday night when I got jumped on, and there was that Wednesday night when we went back up to fight again. That's when we made the news. So I was like, I got to get them back.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, seeing one of the guys who had jumped me that Monday that I didn't get to get back at the club. He was with all his homeboys. Now, I had let it go. I said, what's up to him? He just looked at me funny. I was like, okay, bet. He was with 10 other dudes older than me, bigger than me. I said, you know what? You better stay with your homeboys. Push gonna shove. A few weekends passed. I see him at the club again. I seen the opportunity to get him. I was like, if I could just get him for a good 5 seconds, that's all I need. Because I knew his homeboy was going to jump in. I ran up on him, got him. I was getting the best on him because I had started boxing too. Mm-hmm. So beating him up, there was this one guy. He was a football player. Came and hit me, knocked me slap on the floor. I got back up. I laughed at him and said, that's all you got? And then it led outside. When it led outside, I was like, I just want you by myself or whatnot. And he was standing out there, and then I started walking up on him anyway, and his homeboy was right there. He hit me before I could get to him. I fell on the ground again. Now, I wouldn't butt probably about 135 pounds, maybe 130 pounds. I'm like 154 pounds now.
Yeah.
All muscle. Anyways, it ended up on the ground. My homeboy was there, so he ran up and hit the dude who hit me. When he hit the dude who hit me, he pulled out a gun. And he aimed it at me. Bow, bow, bow. Now, I thought I heard 3 gunshots, but it sounded like they were far away. That was crazy because he was right over me with the gun. Mm-hmm. My homeboy, he took off running, okay? I remember fighting them while I was on the ground, kicking and punching. And then I heard the gunshots. When I heard the gunshot, they sounded like they were far away. I never seen a gun or anything. And then in between that time, I can't remember what happened. But I was looking for my homeboy because I thought he was getting jumped on. He came back. He was like, bro, I thought you was dead. I was like, nah. He was like, I was like, dang, would they beat me that bad? Yeah. He was like, no. He pulled out a gun. I see him pointing at you and shoot. And then he was like, ain't gonna lie, I ran because he started shooting at me too. And I'm looking at him like, bro, ain't no point in both of us dying. But the look that was on his face, like, he felt bad because he thought I was dead and he left me there. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shoot, check my back. Make sure I ain't bleeding. Because they say when you get shot, usually you don't feel it at first. And then he was like, I went and shot him that. And so I was like, what the world? You know, I was like, the gunshots didn't even sound like they was right over me. So that right there was a big turning point in my life to I was like, okay, it's time to quit playing and get serious. Because if you would have died that night, you would have been just another dead black man. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody would have known that you were trying to fight 2 dudes and be this big and bad person. You would just been dead. And that's it.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what? I'm done. You know what I'm saying? Let me get serious about my walk with God. And that's when the real journey started, you know? And it's crazy that I had to go through almost losing my life to realize that, you know, I needed his guidance. Mm. But when I went back, I had tried to read my Bible plenty of times. This time when I went back to read my Bible, I remember starting in Matthew, and I remember reading it, and it was clear as day. And, like, the words were so in line with what I had been through. I was like, dang, if I would have been reading this, I would have known from the jump what to do and what not to do, you know? So it was a crazy twisting point, man. But that was the climax, and then that's when I really rededicated my life. And ever since then, I started going hard. I found God. I thought that, hey, you know what? Now that I got God, maybe I should get married. Aunt Ronnie, man, well, you need to build a relationship and heal. Yeah. Got married at 22.
So you still boxing during this time too?
Yeah, I was still boxing at that time. Yeah. Still boxing at the time. Got married. Only knew the person for 5 months. Guess how that went? I was divorced at 23.
Yeah.
Still boxing though, you know.
But y'all had a daughter. Or was this no, from a previous relationship?
This was before then.
Ah.
This was hold up. Oh snap. You know what? I was in a relationship. She ended up getting pregnant, and the baby wasn't born yet. I ended up getting married to somebody else that I had been knowing for 5 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
While so, she was pregnant.
Yeah, while she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, that's what happened. And yeah, that marriage didn't last too long. So it was crazy, man.
Let me ask you a question in that. Because we see that a lot of times, you know, early on, people are in relationships and they're wanting to follow God, but they also want to have sex.
Yeah.
So the desire to have sex will cause people to get married.
Yes.
Because of the Christian faith that they're trying to follow. Did you have that experience? Did that have anything to do with the marriage?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, that, man, that's what... I think that's what made me and my ex-wife get married.
Yeah,
that's all we did.
Which ain't, which ain't grounds really.
No,
yeah.
To
no.
get married.
Yeah. That's a whole story within itself. Being married and looking at myself, I never knew what marriage really was until now. Because I'm married now. But looking at that situation, I wasn't the wife that I had was damaged, and I was damaged, okay? Mm-hmm. And, like, I was never there. So I got married and basically put her last. I put everything before her. Boxing, ministry, my job, everything, you know? And she cheated on me, but when I look at it, I was like, of course she did, Emmanuel. She's broken, and you're not the man that can actually bring out the best in her. At that point in time, I wanted her to be where I needed her to be for me. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm married, now I understand that, you know, my job is not to make my wife what I want her to be. It's to make her what God wants her to be. Mm-hmm. If she can become what God wants her to be, she's going to be more than enough for me. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's one thing that I was lacking, but that's one thing that I learned. Because the fact that she cheated, and I told people, they were like, she was in the wrong. You ain't do nothing wrong. Yes, I was loyal, but they couldn't see the wrong that I had done. Mm-hmm. I seen it because I kept asking God to reveal what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a big part of me that didn't want to believe I didn't do anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, it had to be something. And deep down inside, something in me knew it was something. And when he gave me revelation on what it was, I realized, okay, bam. So let me heal and make sure that I don't make this mistake again.
Yeah, that's good. That's
and I think that happens in a lot of marriages. Like, the person don't look at what they did wrong. From choosing to be with them, not seeing the red flags that you needed to see, all the way up
or
until...
ignoring them.
Yeah, ignoring them. It just, all of that stuff, it plays in into everything that goes into finding the right one and having the right relationship. You know what I'm saying?
And you know, we talk about this in recovery a lot of times. You know, when someone hurts us, we're resentful at them for what they did to us. But the only way to truly get over that resentment is to see our part in it.
Exactly.
And when you can see your part, it somehow releases you from being resentful at them, because you can understand why they did what they did because of what you did.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is exactly what you're just
explaining. Which is where the freedom comes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
your ability to forgive.
I was about to say, and forgiveness.
Yeah.
Exactly. I taught myself this. I learned that anger, when you're angry, you pour out a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was sick at work one time, and I'm talking about I was so sick, but I still wanted to get my job done because I needed the money. I was so sick that I felt like I was going to fall out. Somebody did something that pissed me off, and when I tell you, I went thinking about my sickness, all that energy came out, and I just started working real hard. Mm-hmm. I realized how much power anger had. So I was like, instead of using my anger towards people, I'm going to use my anger to fix my mistakes. So instead
that's
of
what
mad,
right resentment is.
Yes.
Because resentment ain't wrong.
Yeah.
We have wrong resentment. But resentment's a built-in natural instinct by God that if you use it right, it'll make you better. That's what he's talking about.
That's it.
You got to focus it in the right area.
Yeah. So
that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I took my anger, and I would take it out on myself, and I would force myself to either do the right thing, think more positive, or apply the word of God to my life in every situation. Because I came up with the mindset that, you know, people don't have the power to make you mad or make you depressed or make you upset unless you allow them to.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So I started getting upset with people for doing me wrong and started getting upset with myself for having a weak mindset. To
put yourself in that position.
Yeah. Either put myself in that position or not being strong enough to endure it.
Yeah.
You know, because another thing that I learned is, you know, the things that we go through in life, James 1, 3, and 4, you know, problems are going to always come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole thing, and that's the thing with God. A lot of people think when they get saved and they commit to God that all their problems going to stop. No, your problems not going to stop. The whole thing with God is he make you strong enough to endure the problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Look at what he went through.
Yeah.
You know, It was no dodging the problem. He had to endure it. Yeah. Nails in the hand, pierced on the side, and never said a mumbling word.
Yeah, and one of the ways that he helps us to endure it is he helps us to see the situation differently. Yeah.
Exactly,
you
exactly.
Know? So it's not like you have to be empowered for your everything around you to suck. It's that when it sucks, you get close to God and he lets you see it differently so that you see that there's purpose in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it right there. It's purpose in every single thing. And just looking at all of that and going back to marriage, you know, because I was able to see my wrong in it, this go around, I was able to find, man, my wife, when I tell you she is amazing, she is amazing. And some of those issues that I had in my last marriage, they kind of started to pop up again because I was doing personal training, doing my own business, you know, entrepreneur, and kind of like putting her to the side and focusing more on that. And she put me in check that I went to my pops, Johnny Goldsmith. That's my pastor, but that's my father figure as well. And he set me straight, and then it came back to me. Hey, you remember what happened the last time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, don't let it happen again. This time, I fixed it within myself. Like, I got to show her that she matter. Loyalty is not about the loyalty or anything. I know one thing with women is they want to feel secure, and they want to know that they matter, you know?
Yeah.
And it's about putting them first, you know?
So we talked about this a couple episodes ago about humility.
Yes.
And how humility positions us to receive revelation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that pride blinds us so we can't see what's going on. Yeah. So when we get into situations and we don't understand what's going on, the key is to get humble so that we can get revelation. And by us getting humble, it also takes us out of pride, which allows us to see.
Yeah.
Yes.
You explained that because you saw these things popping up. Your wife checked you. Then you got humble, went to your pastor, and you allowed him to speak into it, which then let you see how to fix it.
Perfect
example. I just love, man, I love hearing people do this type of stuff without the recovery teachings that we teach people.
Because
it proves that what we're teaching people is from God.
Yeah.
Because we're watching God do the exact same thing with different language in other places.
100%.
It's beautiful. Absolutely.
Which his pastor is a kingdom pastor, too. I mean, Pastor Goldsmith.
It's the kingdom in operation. Same principles.
Exactly. So not going into that situation, but just check. And I check myself a lot, man. And like you said, humble. I'm very huge on making sure that I go as low as I possibly can.
Got to get low.
As low as I possibly can. So that, you know, God can raise me up, because that's what the Bible says. If you want to go up, you got to come down. And people don't understand why I address other people as kings and queens. It's a humbling experience, because I had someone do it to me, and I thought about it, and I was like, man, it felt good to be called that. But at the same time, why did you hesitate to address them back as that? And it showed me that I had a little ego issue going on. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to address everybody as that. And at first it felt weird, but I realized it only felt weird because it's like, God give us the life or death, the power of life and death in the tongue, right? So it's like, you call yourself, this is for me. It's like, you got the power to speak life in everybody you walk by. And you mean to tell me you feel strange by calling somebody king or queen? Now, one reason why I felt strange is because I was like, they might think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
But then the other thing was like, you know, but I experienced it. I know how it made me feel. So why not share that with other people, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's why
he calls us.
Yeah,
exactly. He says he's the king of kings.
Yes.
We're the lowercase kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So
I started doing that. And as I started doing that and just humbling myself to as much as I possibly can, it helped me see clearly of some things that I wasn't really seeing. Mm. So when you really humble yourself down to a certain level, you can actually see the people who exalt themselves a little more than they should. And you see it within yourself.
Yeah.
And you can see it within other people too. So it just kept me more focused about my surroundings and how I move and things like that. But it helped me become a better father. It helped me become a better husband. And it helped me become a better business owner. And help me better with my clients,
you know,
who I also train.
One of the reasons that I think it does that is because, you know, it says that humble yourself and God will lift you up.
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that I think it means when it says he lifts us up, we've heard of having a bird's eye view.
Yes.
It means that you are higher above, so you can look down and see the situation. And that's what I think it means.
Beautiful.
When he exalts us, it's not that he's saying, oh, you're better. It means that he lifts you up so you can look down and see
changes
everything.
Your altitude.
Changes your perception.
Hey, I love that, man.
But that's, like, let's be honest, bro. Like, that's the way that you overcome desires.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you ain't getting rid of out of control desires by attacking desires.
No.
You're going to have to change your altitude where those things can't live.
Yes.
And that comes through humility.
Yeah.
It does.
I got a problem and I can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, how many times have I went to God and said, I'm struggling, nobody knows I'm struggling, but I need your help with this because it's beyond my ability to fix.
And it's amazing when you humble yourself and go to a mentor and they give you a suggestion and you take it. How quickly it can pull you out of that.
Oh, yeah.
I think humility is attached to it.
Yeah.
It is.
You know, even if they give you a wrong suggestion that doesn't necessarily fix the problem, you humbling yourself and taking the suggestion, he'll lift you up to see things from a different perspective.
Yes. So, yes, absolutely. So looking at this is all the things that God has done in my life. And as a successful person, so I went from being an atheist. Okay, who had nothing going on in his life but a job. Okay, I got my life serious with God. Okay, I was at this point in time when I'm building my relationship with God, I didn't have custody over my daughter, so I wasn't really seeing her like that. I was working a basic job making $9.50. I didn't have a car. I had a bicycle that I ride. I don't know if you remember me riding that bicycle.
Yes, I remember you.
Because the car that I did have.
You wrecked it.
I wrecked it. Outdoing something I shouldn't have been.
Had the T-tops on it. It was a Camaro, wasn't it?
Camaro with the T-tops, Just to go to show you, man, when you ain't connected with God, it don't matter how many blessings you get, you will mess it up.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So didn't have a car and living with my grandma. I don't have my daughter. Basic job, didn't have a car, living with my grandma. That was my situation. As I got serious with God and started building myself and going farther, he allowed me to see what I was capable of doing. So it was the basic stuff first, getting a house, getting a car. I got the car first, got the car, got a better job, left the job I was at, got a better paying job, messed around and got a second car. Before I got my second car, I got out of my grandma's house, finally got my own apartment. Cause when I would leave my grandma's house, I would always go live with somebody else and ended up staying with a few different women. That didn't work. I don't want to go too deep into that cause I want to hit the main points. Finally got my own house, my own apartment. So I was living there for a while. Only stayed there for 2 years. My church did this thing with finances and taught us about credit, how to get it up, how to get a house. Mm-hmm. Bam. I said, you know what? I'm going to get me a house. 2 years later, got a house. So I got a house, 2 cars, and I'm still working. Fast forward later on, COVID came. I was always into working out. COVID came. All the gyms shut down. I opened up my garage, started training there.
Mm-hmm.
Started working out there. People wanted some personal training, so I started doing personal training there. Opened my home up to my homeboy, Corey Davis. Let him train there. Didn't charge him nothing. We were just in there grinding, you know what I'm saying? Grinding. And then next thing you know, people would hit me up, wanting to train. And it ended up us getting a bigger building, which is now Aces Four Legends Gym. Mm. This happened in the span of
what's the name of it?
864 Legends Gym.
864, guys.
Yeah, it's right behind Weinberger City. We got that, and all of that was created from starting in a small garage. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, all this was created by working in a small garage.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, he's about it before it was ever this.
And the Lord says, you know, don't despise these
small beginnings,
man.
Because
for real.
The Lord loves to see the work begin.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So in the midst of this time, that's when I met my wife now. Me and my wife was together for about 4 years before we got married. So we just got married like last year in October. So we newlyweds, but being together, we ain't new at that. But anyways, yeah. So we started this this gym, got a bigger business, Aces for Legends. So before we got Aces for Legends, when I was training at my garage, my clientele kept picking up. And I got like 7 people training in this small garage at one time. And I would mainly train in the morning from about 8 o'clock up until 12 o'clock. And 12 o'clock, that's when it ends. So 8, 9, 10, 11, 4 hours. And I realized how much money I was making in that time. You guys, I was having between 5 to 7 people. So each one paying $15, that's how much I was making an hour. 4 days a week. And I'm looking at my paycheck and I'm like, I'm looking at what I'm making on my own, looking at my paycheck. I'm like,
this ain't adding up.
Hold on, wait a minute. Because I'm 40 hours at work. And I'm only doing half of that, actually Monday through Friday. So I'm like, okay, yeah, it's time for me to, you know, head out and, you know, step out on faith and do this, you know. So that's what I did. And from there, it kept building up to where we got the gym now. And now we got memberships. We got... I think we right at 200 and something members.
That's amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Who paying, and then we got clients. Yeah. So everything is prospering. So yeah. from being the person who was from being a child, being broken and hurt, up into being an atheist with nothing, from becoming a man who believe in God, who don't have a pot to
piss in or window to throw it out of,
to having a house, a family, a great marriage, a great running business. Like, God has been absolutely amazing. And the only time I feel like I'm not worthy or I feel like I'm in a place of depression is when I realize I'm drifting off from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I have hit some major bumps, even as an entrepreneur, of struggling, you know what I'm saying? And it caused me to drift off from God. And I realized, you know, the reason why I'm struggling so much and my faith is less is because I drifted off. So I was put in some situation that had me to connect back with God.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about it is the connection with God now is on a level that it has never been on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's showing me, like, even from a business standpoint, I remember certain clientele I used to pull in. And I want anybody in their business to hear this well. If you're a person who believe in God and you're running your business and you ever find yourself in a position where you feel like who you are as a person is not representing God well. Because that's the type of position that I was in. Mm. I was in a position where I didn't feel like I was representing God well. And because of how I carried myself, it caused me to pull in different type of clientele.
Mm.
And I realized that my wife was getting on to me because there was some things I was doing that she didn't like. And I realized, okay, I got to change and I got to really stand on God. I was like, man, if I do this, I know I'm going to lose a lot of clients.
Well, what you're talking about is reaping and sowing.
Yeah, reaping and sowing.
So it's like what we put out into the atmosphere, we attract.
Yes. So it was just joking around too much with my female clients, just doing childish stuff. You know, I wasn't being disloyal, but it was just childish, inappropriate stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's just the growing pain.
We
come from nothing.
Exactly.
We come this far, but bro, nobody told me how much farther I had to go.
Yeah.
And also, you know, not only where we came from, but what we experienced and what was our norm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's like when you take me and you put me in a Christian environment.
Yeah.
Their standards for me are way different than what my standards were.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So it's like the fact that I ain't going to jail is a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that I'm not hurting anybody is a big deal for me.
Yes.
The fact that I'm not, you know, sleeping with 10 different women is a big thing for me.
Yeah.
Whereas the standards of the people that I'm now around, they would never have even thought about being that way anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, I have to balance this and remember how far I've come.
Yeah.
As I'm growing.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, so it's like, it's the growth process. Like
exactly.
You said.
Yeah. Well, and it's also this fact that like, you're not alone, bro. I started this business. You know how many days I feel like I'm unqualified?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the enemy wants to tear me down, or there's just things that I don't know that I've got to learn.
Yes.
And that I didn't put, you know, when I got to thinking about starting this, I didn't factor none of that in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I didn't factor any of what I'm having to learn in.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what's happening there is God is... He's shaping us
exactly
for a better tomorrow.
Oh, man. Yeah. Shape, man. That's it. And that's what I realized back then is he was shaping me and saying that, you know, no matter what you see other people doing, how you see other trainers working, you are made for something higher than what you see. You know what I'm saying? And I had to realize
that. You separated yourself.
Yeah, I had to separate. And what it is the music was a big influence. You know, on how somebody, man, I would have some client that was like we working out during the break, they'll start like twerking. I'm like, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but it's like how I'm carrying myself, you know, along with the music that I was playing.
Makes it acceptable.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I had to realize that, okay, I don't want to be so heavily minded that I'm no earthly good. So let me find some of the music that, you know, that's good, some of the old school hits, some of the hits that, you know, it ain't got all this negative trash talking stuff in there, you know, because even the clean, like when I say clean, I mean, like, it's still dirty music. Mm-hmm. They just take the cuss words out.
Yeah.
It's not clean, it's dirty.
Yeah.
But I had to cut all of that off and realize that music, not only was it affecting the people that I was training, but it was affecting me as well, you know, and I could see it. Now that I look back, I can see how it's affecting me and my marriage. And it goes to show, like, especially being African American, music is a big part of our culture, you know. And I realized, like, I'm going to have to really stand on God and stand on business and put some boundaries up for my business where I'm going to lie and what I'm not going to lie, and don't let nobody, you know what I'm saying?
Make you jeopardize that.
Make me jeopardize that. Yeah. So now I realize I got to always be positive, because I would joke around and say something negative. But now I don't even play around being negative. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I'm always positive. I'm always speaking life, because I realize whether you playing around or not, what you put out, whether it's a joke or not, you don't put it out there.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't play around with what God has given you. If you can speak life, speak life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do now. I speak life into my clients. I carry myself in a way to where they respect me. I even realized that when people approach me, they play around with certain people, but they don't play around me like that because it's that respect based on how I carry myself.
Yeah, it's what you're giving out is coming back.
Yes, sir. And I've seen, like, the type of clientele that I pull in. Where I was pulling in, how can I word this? Because you got to be careful how you word things. I'm going to just say this. I'm pulling in, some of my clients that I'm pulling in are ministers.
Yeah.
You know, they ministers. So I realized that, you know, God, for a point of time, I did lose clientele, but I was like, let me keep going, because God is not going to divide without multiplying.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm seeing where now he's bringing in the people who are going to be used to, you know, the type of business that I'm trying to run.
Yeah.
So I run.
And they desire that type of business.
Yes, they desire it.
They're looking for it.
Yes.
And those are the cats that are going to help build it for the future.
Yep. Exactly. And that's what God has shown me. Like, this thing is going to be a whole lot bigger than what you think it's going to be. So going forward, I let God know that, look, my business is a platform for you to use to bring more people to you.
Mm.
You know, so I realize that every day I wake up, I got a job to do, and it's to let my light shine for God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I post sometimes and I say, I'm just a nobody who believe in God. Now, there's always somebody who's like, you're not a nobody. God didn't die for a nobody. I'm like, listen, if you would have known me in the past, I'm talking about this something that I didn't share. Hopefully my daughter don't see this. but you talking about a person who I have beat women, you know, and just because I fought men too, it don't make it right. Like, I beat women and men, no. I used to beat women, even I ain't gonna say that because my daughter might she gonna be pissed off at me. So I'm just keep this one in. But I beat women. I did some crazy things. I was a horrible person. And I was a person who would seek to do evil because at one point in time I believed those who are evil are the ones who gonna win. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like the people who did me wrong was they won. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so
a lot of times they did, yeah.
So yeah. I'm saying all that to just say a lot of people don't know the Emmanuel I used to be.
Yeah, they ain't
all
never
they
met
see
him.
Is the Emmanuel now. And so when I call myself a nobody, they looking at the Emmanuel now calling himself a nobody. I'm like, no, if you would have known me back then and seen how dirty I was, like you would say that yeah, I was a nobody.
Yeah, because we know that without God we are nobody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And that's
nothing.
Exactly.
And you know, the other thing about that is we have to remember that. Yeah, that's the stuff that we did.
Yes.
But we're a new creation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the only reason we ain't doing those things anymore is because God has taken up residence in us and he's overpowering us. And, you know, that's the good thing about the Christian faith is it's the hard thing, too, is, you know, Jesus not only deals with sin and forgiveness, but he deals with the shame, which is the stain of sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, in the Old Testament, they would bring the sacrifice, slay the animal and plead the blood, and it would deal with the sin for a year. But when Jesus came, he dealt with the sin for all time, but he also dealt with the stain of sin, which is shame. And so now I can look back on what I did in that old man and know I'm no longer that person.
Yes.
And that's why I don't walk in shame anymore. And I can use it as a testimony. But then the hard part is when people who did things to me get saved.
Yeah.
And now the same thing I apply to myself,
you got
to
apply to them.
Yes.
And I say, that's not who did that. It's an old man.
Yeah. Exactly. You know? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I say that. And I just want people to know that, you know, every accomplishment that I achieve, and every client that I help make a transformation, every big business that I take is only because the power of God.
Yeah.
And I don't let nobody put me on a pedestal because people will try to put you on that pedestal.
Yeah,
they will. They will.
I always say the most surprised person that I'm where I'm at.
Yeah,
me
is me.
Yeah, and I had people tell me like there's like I said because I come in and there's like come on now you got to give yourself some credit too. I'm like, listen, if you was drowning, right, and somebody put their hand out to help you out of that water, and you reach your hand out, are you going to brag about how you reached your hand out? Mm. Man, you should have seen how I reached my hand out so they could pull me out of that water. But I reached my hand out, I was holding on, the water would pull me in. No, that don't matter. Yeah. You going to brag about the person who pulled you out the water. Yeah. Like, because if it wasn't for them, I would have drowned.
Good. Jesus.
Jesus, exactly.
So, good, bro.
So it's like, I will not.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah. I refuse to give myself any credit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I give all the credit to God.
Yeah.
You know, because the rob him of any of it is...
Because even our ability to reach our hand up was... He gave us that.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
It's
man.
It's all him.
So, just...
And the person being there was strategic.
Yep.
Yeah. He put him there, too. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So when I look back over my life, man, and I apply this word to God, like y'all say, it humbling yourself, it raises you up so you can see down. When I look down and I teach from my life experiences, I realize that, you know, the people who wrongfully hurt us are not our enemies. They are destiny pushers. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They're really a friend. Exactly. Mm. They pushing us into our destiny. I was like, if I could reword, you know what I'm saying, that my dad did the worst thing he could have done for me, I would say my dad did the best thing he could have done for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Jesus called Judas a friend.
That's what I'm going to get to. Peter an enemy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And it's the kingdom.
Exactly.
It's that God lets nothing go to waste. And when you're really called by him, he uses everything for your benefit.
Yep. Exactly. So when I look at it now, I was like, all of this would just set me in position for not just me to be great, but what God has planned for my life, what he's going to do. Mm. When I look and I see that I got over 12 clients who's no longer on medication, who no longer have blood pressure issues. See what I'm saying? Like, somebody's life has been saved, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of me starting personal training and health and fitness was because I lost a friend who died of cancer. Mm. He didn't smoke. He didn't drink. And it caused me to get into my research, and I realized that a lot of the stuff was in the food, you know? So I said, his death is not going to be in vain. And out of his death, people are turning their health around. People, kids are getting to see their parents, mothers and fathers live a little longer because it's certain knowledge that if they didn't have, so, they probably wouldn't be around.
Yeah, so give us a little knowledge on the dieting. On the, not dieting as far as like going on a diet, but on how to eat.
Life child, a lifestyle change.
Yeah, how to eat. How do you eat? Let's hear how you eat.
So I actually went vegan, plant-based, because I watched What the Health, okay? Mm-hmm. And on What the Health, they showed that processed meat, okay? And I say this, that meat had to be good at one point in time, but it's what they're doing to it now. Mm-hmm. Processed meat is more deadly than tobacco, smoking cigarettes. Mm-hmm. And when I found it, I'm like, what the world? How could I not know this? You know, like I did learn in school.
So what do you do for protein? Just curious.
well, that's processed meat. Not all meat. Only processed. So when you talk about processed meat, you talking about bologna, Winnie's.
Hot dogs.
Yeah, hot dogs.
He said weenies, bro.
Oh, yeah,
you missed that. You missed the weenies.
Ground beef.
I don't even hear it.
Any meat that you buy at the store that's been through a process,
yeah.
9 out of 10, it's a type 1 carcinogen, which means it causes cancer.
Wow.
So you got to think, if your diet is you eating burgers, hot dogs, and then something else,
they all got it in it.
Yeah, exactly. And when I seen that, like, it made sense why he didn't drink, he didn't smoke, still worked out, but yet still got cancer. So it's that, I learned that, so I cut out. It made me cut out meat, period. But, you know, there are some meats out there that are good. Just make sure you get the non-GMO, and you should be straight. It was that. I found out about eggs, how they make it seem like it's healthy, but eggs and milk, they can't even call it healthy because if they do, then they'll be charged a fine I think it's a USDA or one of them. But I was like, dog, I always thought that was healthy too. So it was just, you know, looking at the back of the labels, high fructose corn syrup, what is it called? It's a salt. How am I struggling with this? I think it's called GMS's. So just looking at the label, anything with like dyes in it, like red, 40, yellow, it'll have the color and the number. So things like that causes cancer to the body.
What did you coach your people to get them off of like high blood pressure medication?
Well,
you coach someone through that?
Not only learning about, in the midst of learning about vegan, I was trying to figure out how to get shredded and ripped up because changing my diet was the only thing. But I found out about fasting. Intermittent fasting.
Yeah.
I started doing the OMAD diet where I would just eat one meal a day. And then I went to doing I couldn't get all my calories in. So I went to doing like 420 fasting, which is you fast for 20 hours and then you eat for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. So I seen the results from that for myself. And then there was some people who I would train with. My wife was one of them, but we wasn't in a relationship at the time. She did it. I seen great results with her. Like, 3 months, she had lost a lot of weight and looked completely different. There was two other people I did it with, and I seen great results. And I realized, like, man, this fasting thing is something serious.
Yeah.
Not only that, but it got a lot of benefits to it. Like, when you fast, it allowed your cells time to clean out all the waste and stuff and, like, everything to go through. So it's called anti-aging. You kind of start anti-aging and whatnot.
And so when you talk about – I'm familiar with fasting. Intermittent fasting, I've done that a lot, but – when you fast and you talk about intermittent fasting, for the people that don't know about that, no calories.
Yes.
During that hour frame.
Yeah, during those frames. And a lot of people, that you can start off with an 8-16 fast and get going to 16 hours, no food, no calories. Now, you can have like water, lemon water, coffee, zero calorie beverages and things like that. Yeah. But there's really no food that don't have calories in it.
Yeah, when you say coffee is black.
Yeah, black coffee.
Black coffee.
tea with no sugar.
Yeah, not coffee with half a cup of cream.
don't work.
So that's fasting. And it gives your body time to reset. And then after seeing, you know, feeling good, having a lot of energy, I look back at the Bible and I was like, you know, the Israelites, they went through the desert. They was fasting as well, you know, because they could only eat one time a day. Mm-hmm. The Bible said, eat till you are full. And I was like, man. So I was like, you know, looking at it from a biblical standpoint, I'm like, it is powerful, you know?
Well, you know, the thing is, we started a fast last year in December in our core group. We fasted from December over into January.
Yeah.
To leave 1 year and go into the new year. And when we got over the new year, I felt like the Lord told me to keep going.
Yes.
And so, you know, I didn't eat any for a little season. And then I started doing intermittent fasting in January. And I felt like he told me to keep going. And so I ended up doing it for about 8 or 9 months.
Okay.
During that process, I started out spiritual minded. Yeah. I'm doing this for spiritual reasons. And then a few months in, I felt like the Lord started telling me, you need to do this for health reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started looking into it. And then he made the connection that taking care of my body is spiritual.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Because it's his temple. It is. Like, we keep the church clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're very mindful of what we do with the church building. Yeah. And we all know he don't even live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is a spiritual aspect to taking care of our body.
Yeah, it is. And it helps with the mind, how you think and how you process mm-hmm. certain things as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I started fasting, started teaching that to my clients. And they got hooked on it. And they was getting results like this right here. Mm-hmm. But this back when I was, like, really... like pushing my clients to train hard, and the reason why is because they'll want to look. I want to lose 30 pounds by my birthday. Okay, babe, when your birthday next month? I'm like, okay, look, we can make it happen, but you gonna really have to work for it. They're like, okay, I got it. And like when I tell you I was a rough trainer, like I was rough, but like you know, as God is leading me and showing me, you know, those quick results, you know, They'll come, but if you can't sustain it, you know, what's the point? So now I'm teaching my clients, you know, let's lose 3 to 4 pounds a month.
Yeah.
You know, and let's do it in a way that's sustainable, because unless you're going to continue to do 420 fasting for the rest of your life, which I don't think would be healthy unless you were just able to, like, really get the nutrition that you need in.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be healthy. So,
you're looking for a lifestyle change.
I did it for a long time. Like, that was my everyday lifestyle. Mm. But when I stepped into the bodybuilding world as a vegan, I won my first show, lost my second one, but I won my third one as a pro. And then I got about 3 wins and 4 losses. I wouldn't say losses. I just didn't play first. I played second and third and one.
How do you get your protein in eating vegan?
Now, and that's crazy. Like, I wasn't getting a lot of protein in, so I came up with this myth. We don't really need protein like that.
I've heard that. I've heard people that eat vegan say that.
Because I was probably getting, like, man, 60 to 50 grams of protein in a day.
But you didn't see the difference.
And I was getting, like I was shredded. I was cut. So it was like, look how ripped up I am. Look at how I look. Mm. And I'm not getting this much protein. And I felt like I was getting stronger because carbs help build muscle as well. Yeah. So I was getting a lot of carbs in.
Well, if you look at people locked up in prison, I mean, they don't have a lot of, you know, protein.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their diet is mostly carbs.
Exactly. So
I've heard that.
I've reneged on that protein thing because over these past years of bodybuilding, I've seen where my body's, I'm seeing more muscle definition, but I'm not seeing no growth. And I watched another documentary called You Are What You Eat, and the people who ate meat, they did twins. It's a twin series because twins got the same genetics, so they can't say it depends on your genetics.
Yeah.
The people who ate vegan, they was crazy healthy, you know. The people who ate meat, they health got a little worse, but they was able to build so much muscle in only 2 months. And I'm looking at that like, forget the vegan stuff. I'm looking at this body, this muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, and you know, so I did up my protein and whatnot, and I'm trying to work with that. But yeah, going past that, that was mainly it. Like protein, unless you're trying to get into bodybuilding and like really build some crazy muscle and look sick, you don't really need a lot of protein because if your body ain't, if your body don't use it, it'll sit inside of your cells and that will cause your cells to die off quicker.
Yeah. So, I mean, man, there's many people out there that probably would love to hear more. Just real quickly as we conclude, tell them like, if they're looking for a personal trainer,
yes, sir.
Looking for a gym, how can they get in touch with you or your gym?
Yes, sir. So my business number, you can contact me, call or text there. It's 864-428, My bad. I just got this business number.
So you better make sure it's right.
Let me make sure it's right. It's 864-824. Man, let me quit playing it and go ahead and look.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay,
and look.
It's 864-824-7014. Okay.
And that's your direct line?
That's my direct business number.
Okay.
Yeah. Rutledge Fitness and Health. And then send me a text. I can send you all the information if you want to get into personal training. You can check me out on Facebook, Emmanuel James Rutledge. Instagram is Rutledge Fitness and Health. And you can see all my transformations and the workouts. I got workouts that y'all can do at home on there that I'm posting every day.
Awesome.
Got that. If you want to get a gym membership at 864 Legends, you can go to www.864legends.com and get a membership there and also see some of the things we got there and see some of the people who train there, because it's myself, Corey Davis, Corey Patton. Then we have other trainers who are there as well. We got about nine trainers in all.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and we're located right behind Weinberger City.
That's on Clemson Boulevard.
Yeah, right off of Clemson Boulevard.
It's an old CrossFit place, wasn't it?
The old Electric City CrossFit. Yeah. 3014 North Main Street, Unit L, Anderson, South Carolina, 29621.
Doing a lot, bro.
Doing
a lot.
To God be the glory for it all, man. You looking at somebody who had nothing, and once I gave my life to God, and I told God, listen, there's a lot of things I still love to do, but I was like, you just gonna have to take the wheel and change me, you know? And this is what I got, and this is just the beginning.
Well, you got to come back and continue to keep us updated on your journey. Well, this is where the rubber meets the road, because now it's time to shoot these shots.
Let's go.
Now, you know, this is going to be a different shot shooter, you know what I mean? So you shoot your best three shots so you could take something home. Hold on 1 second. Let John get ready with the camera.
They call me One Hand Rutledge. I'm going to do it with one hand.
All right. You got three chances.
Ready?
Ready, John?
Hold on. Can I stand up? I have to sit down?
You gotta sit down.
Okay, bet. I'm just making sure. Here we go. Backboard. I had to get a good feel for it. Here we go.
Oh!
Okay, one more. It came back to me. That means it's my leg. Third time. One for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Spirit. Here we go. Let me see if I can get something. Oh!
You gotta give him one more chance.
Yeah. One more. Well, okay.
Hey, well, we're going to give you something anyway.
Appreciate it.
Again, we love you. Thank you for coming through.
We look
forward to staying and watching your growth. But again, Emmanuel Rutledge, 864 Legends. Look him up. Till next time. Shoot.
Peace.
Yeah.